You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello, hello. I enjoyed last week's message so much that this is going to be part two of the Animal Farm. Yes. First of all, before I go into any of the Animal Farm, which is about as relevant as it gets, I wanted to mention that people have given donations, and I appreciate it very, very much. That money will be spent very wisely. Also, I would mention at davidjamesboston.com, Eli and I have a revelation series that you get for $25 delivered in the U.S. If you're overseas, you probably want to add a few more dollars for postage. But you get a little 16-gig flash drive. It comes on a flash drive, and it's all the Revelation series, all 14 parts. And I've also cleaned up Dr. Comparé's, Bertrand L. Comparé's Revelation series, which I put on there as a bonus. So you can get that in the PayPal store for $25 delivered in the contiguous states. Thank you for those who donated. I want to mention something that I'm as sick of seeing Alex Jones as I am sick of seeing Obama, okay? Number one, I'm going to make an announcement today. Are you ready for this announcement? Alex Jones is dead. No, I don't think he's left the vessel he's in. But to me, Alex Jones is dead. So don't bother keeping up with the Jones. And why I say that is, ladies and gentlemen, I gave you advice. And that advice is this. If you find out that any of these news stations, mainstream media, have lied to you, any alternative media, any papers, whatever it be, you don't give them heed any longer. You don't want them even to get the rating of you even looking at their show. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, I didn't listen to Alex Jones very long, so he's been dead a long time for me. But they keep trying to show him like he's relevant. He's dead to me. I give him no heed. You see, for a long time, he was accused of being a Jew shill. And then it was proven. They called it a conspiracy theory, but it was proven. So don't give him any heed anymore. Don't listen to him anymore. Don't talk about him anymore. He's dead. Don't bother keeping up with the Jones. I figured you might like that. Next item. I want you to think about something. I was thinking about this. I was listening to Comparé on the recent Classic Comparé show. And this was an extra good one. It was called The Battle of the Gods. He was speaking of Halel. So he knows that the devil's name is Halel. But I want you to think of something. When Yeshua sent those demons into the herd of pigs, it was just a short while until they died, right? They ran off a cliff and drowned. Well, at the Last Supper, Halel entered Judas. And what happened to Judas shortly after that? He hung himself. He bought a field for the 30 pieces of silver that he betrayed Yeshua for. And then he hung himself. Very interesting, isn't it? Next item. I don't know if you're paying attention in the world, but did you notice that witches, demons, and vampires have hooked noses? They have the mark of Cain upon them. Why do you think that is? Is it just by happenstance? Or is it a warning to you? Now, you could say, well, I watched The Wizard of Oz, and the White Witch, she didn't have a big hook nose. That's correct. But that's a little game they play with witchery. The good witch, bad witch nonsense, just like the good Jew, the bad Jew. Good cop, bad cop nonsense. You know, that's like calling a Jew a good Jew, because they're vampires, as you know. And all they do is suck your blood. Can you think of something good to say about a blood-sucking vampire? Geez, nobody sucks blood like you do. I mean, let's get real. Let's get real here. All right? So next time you are in the store or you're watching Talmud Vision, which you shouldn't be, and you see a witch and you see a demon, and it doesn't matter if it's in cartoons or on pictures or whatever it might be, witches, demons, and vampires have the mark of Cain. Yes, Cain was given a mark, and that's exactly what Comparé was talking about. See, he said they wouldn't put a mark, that Yahweh wouldn't put a mark on his bottom of his feet or in his armpit where nobody could see it. He put it right in the center of his face where it would be obvious to anyone and everyone, I should have said. Okay? That's just one of the marks of Cain. That's the mark, the physical mark. But we also know that the other marks of Cain are the fact that they will be vagabonds and wanderers, that they shall have no country of their own, and that they would not be able to farm, that the ground would no longer yield to him. That's what Cain was told. So when we see somebody that can't farm, when we see a people that can't farm, when we see a people with hook noses, when we see a people who are internationalists and hate nationalists, then we know that they have the marks of Cain upon them. Some of them shave the nose down so you can't tell the physical mark for a while. But it comes right back when they get older, and it certainly comes back in the next generation. However, even without the facial mark, we know the other marks. You know, that guy Nigel, whatever his name is, he went and spoke before the EU. Nigel Farrell or something. I don't remember his last name right now. I did watch him recently speaking, and he did rather well. But I pictured myself speaking up before those people. And I could speak to them for a couple of hours at least. And boy, I know they wouldn't like what I would have to tell them. That's one of the biggest problems with the sheep. The sheep don't want to hear the shepherds. Oh, they want their protection should they fall in a ditch. And they'll take anything they can free from them. But when it comes to obeying, they don't want to obey the shepherds any more than they want to obey Yahweh himself, who sent the shepherds forward, who sent the shepherds to guide them. Now, today the shepherds are a lot different, and I'll get into that maybe a little later. But I've got a very nice surprise for you, because I love to connect dots. I have a saying that when you start connecting the dots, the spider web appears. Well, I'm going to repeat something that I like to repeat from time to time, and I've already told you about Spock. But I'm going to literally connect a dot for you that you should remember this for the rest of your lives. And I want you to pay strict attention. I was talking to Pastor Steve, and I mentioned to him B.F. Jackson's The Mystery of the Serpent. This is from my first show. I did a talk on this particular thing, and I also talked on it on a later show. Now, I'm going to go right to this page, and here's what I'm going to show you. This is going to blow you away. But this is going to show you, this is the prelude to what I'm telling you, who the goats are. You know who the goats are. But I'm going to prove to you that the goats are in unison. That the goats all are standing together. Now let's listen. Ezekiel calls that characteristic a cormorant because there is no Hebraic for a vampire bat. While preying on man, that vampire race, speaking of the Jews, utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to assist to elevate him to the zenith of spiritual attainment. 2 Peter 2:11 and 12 throws light on the condition when he says, pay attention, exclusive attention, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before Yahweh, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, that shall utterly perish and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Let me just read it one more time for you, because then we're going to find out what it really says. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before Yahweh, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. The original Greek for that word natural is phusikos. It means things born in one. Brute is allegos, or without life. Beast is zoon, a living creature. Remember that from the book of Revelation? There were four zoons that were surrounding Yahweh's throne, which were the tribes of Israel. Maid is geneo, or conceive. Bring forth in childbirth. Take is halison, or with a view to capture. Destroyed is ice thoran. It's hard to pronounce that one. Or corrupt. Perish is katafiero, or corrupt utterly. Thus, now listen, this is the key to the whole thing. Here's what it really says. Thus, the original declaration of St. Peter is, are you ready? These living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. That's what the Jews do. That's what the Jews are. Let's listen again. These living dead things, like vampires, right? Isn't that what they're obsessed with? These vampire movies, and they try to get us obsessed with all that nonsense. And don't you notice that the vampire, like Bela Lugosi, has a big hook nose because he is a Jew? And some people say, oh, he's not a Jew. Just look at him. He's a Jew. And notice how he's all the vampire is always going after an Anglo-Saxon woman, usually with blonde hair. And what does she become after he bites her? Not only his slave, but many times his wife. Are you hearing me? So let's listen to the original declaration of what Peter is really saying. These living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth, with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Isn't that what they do? Isn't that what they're born to do? And they do it without a conscience because they're living dead things. But it even gets better than this. Wait till you hear what I'm going to, when I connect the dot for you. Peter and Jude graphically show they are speaking about none other than Jewry. They are speaking about the same conditions. Jude 9 shows the angel in Mike is Michael, and the brute beast is the devil, or Halel, who, according to the personal family record of Jewry's current god, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, was the serpent prince Nahar. The first record of that counterfeit race is in the third chapter of Genesis, the counterfeit race. The counterfeit Israelites, the counterfeit white people. They're not white. Some of them look white, and they can make people believe they're just about any race because they've mixed with every race. The first record of that counterfeit race is in the third chapter of Genesis. Now pay attention to this. This is gold. The word serpent in that chapter is Nakash in the original Hebraic. Now listen, there are three ways of composing the word Nakash. Okay, so when you see the word Nakash in the scriptures, they can mean three different things. The root is composed with three characters, the first of which is shaped similar to a round bottom W with a dot above the right-hand arm. The second is similar to the pi ratio sign. The third to a very poor figure three. Written thus, it means divine. Okay? learn by experience, observe diligently, use enchantment and enchanter. Okay, that's one way it's used. So that was the Nakash in the garden, right? In the garden. In the garden. I like that. Okay. When the word contains a dash or bar under the second and third characters, it means occult science, witchcraft, black magic. Okay, so there's two meanings for Nakash that you've just heard. The first one, we know he was an enchanter. So it means divine, learned by experience, observe diligently, use enchantment, and enchanter. When the word contains a dash or bar, under the second and third characters, it means occult science, witchcraft, or black magic. But here's the key, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we're going to connect the dot, and that's exactly what this is. When a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race fathered by the original material Satan. And the race is the racial body of Satan is similar in the manner as the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people are the racial body of Israel. Now, Pastor Steve told me that's called the Shin, the third one. So the Shin is the one that means this. I'm going to read it again. This is the third meaning. When a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race fathered by the original material Satan. And the race is the racial body of Satan in similar manner as the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic people are the racial body of Israel. Now, he called that the Shin. Now I'm going to connect the dot for you. Remember, it's a dot that makes it this. Okay? So we're going to literally connect this dot. Now, when you watch Star Trek, you see Spock. And Spock says, live long and prosper. And he gives you a hand sign. Do you know what the hand sign is called? The Shin. What is that telling you? That's telling you that on television, he was giving that sign to people that knew what it meant. But he was also influencing people to be able to make that sign in agreement with them, unknowingly or knowingly. Where did Spock find out how to do this hand sign? Well, he explained it himself. When he is a Jew, of course, as you know. And when he was going to the synagogue, when he was a child, they would be told, the children would be told to close their eyes during a certain time, during when they were in the synagogue. Spock said that he opened his eyes and he saw them all giving that sign, the sign, the Shin. Do you understand what I'm just telling you right now? You see, the Bible, if you do not have the Bible or the scriptures or whatever you want to call it, call the books, the Bible, the scriptures, whatever you call it, if you're trying to seek the truth and you're leaving the Bible aspect out of it, you will never have the full picture of the truth. It's impossible. only with the scriptures will you have the full picture. You see, when people are telling you the New World Order and all this garbage, they're looking at it from a certain angle. They don't understand that the New World Order is the literal offspring of the devil. And they love to give the shin, which proves that they are the offspring. You see, Nakash, with that dot, that extra dot, is the third meaning, which proves that they are the literal offspring of Halel, the devil. You understand what I'm telling you? So, they don't understand the full picture because they don't know that there's a war between the offspring of the devil and the offspring of Yahweh. So they can never come to the full conclusion of what's really going on. And this is the truth. Dear listener, you may not agree with me right now, but you will. I guarantee you will, because I've seen it from both angles. I always had the biblical view, but I also had the view of these people that try to make it the Catholics, or they try to make it one entity that's doing all this, or it's the Illuminati. And all those are people that don't have a full understanding. And they're also shills, many of them, trying to cover for Halel's children. Some of those people do know. Some of them don't. Because if you do not have the biblical perspective, you are only seeing a glimpse of the full picture. You're only seeing a part of it. You will be able to connect all the dots when you have the biblical view of what's really going on, because it attests to itself over and over and over and over. Listen, I mean, this is telling you about what Spock is doing. This is telling you about the Jews, the literal offspring of the devil. The Bible only could connect this dot. Oh, you might have known that Spock went into the synagogue and that's how he found out what the shin was, but you wouldn't have known about the Hebrew. You wouldn't have known that the Hebrew shin is what makes them, that definition of Nakash, the offspring of the devil himself. So even if you were a one-seed liner, let's look at it this way. Now, I don't want to keep parting ways with people that almost agree with everything we agree about. What I'm trying to do is help people gather together. If you're a one-seed liner, I've said this before, you'll eventually come to the knowledge of what's really going on, hopefully, if you keep seeking the truth. So a one-seed liner just may be somebody that just has a doubt that Eve would have had sex with an angelic being. But here we see the Hebraic tells us the story. And then there's testimonies of this. There's testimonies in the regular world to prove that this is true. You don't think Yahweh doesn't make them show their cards, do you? Of course he does. And that's something to do with the Talmud and the Kabbalah. That they at least must tell you what they're doing to you. So, if you believed, you only believed that the Jews were the evil, the tares, and you didn't believe that they were a seed line, an offspring from Cain, you'd be doubting Yeshua, because Yeshua said, as you well know, and maybe you just haven't really realized what he was saying to you. When he said to the Jew Pharisees, you are guilty of all the blood shed from Abel to Zacharias, whom you slayed between the altar and the temple, and of course now they're guilty of all the blood slain since then. You didn't understand what he was saying. How could he connect them to Cain if they weren't his offspring? I'm not telling you anything new, but maybe you one seedliners, I'm telling you something new. What would you say to Yeshua? What do you mean they're guilty of the blood shed all the way from Abel to Zacharias? These Pharisees in your day had nothing to do with Cain. Well, that's not what Yeshua said. He said they were guilty of all the blood shed from Abel to Zacharias. Are you going to argue with him? I'm certainly not, because this is a testimony of that what I'm telling you is true right here. So, many people in the world, Judeo-Christians who are following the Jewish version of Christianity, which is an abomination to the Father, they've probably never heard that either. But, you know, I've said that to people. It took me 6 months to make one fellow understand what I was telling him. I read that several times to him over a six-month period. Finally, he said 6 months later, now I know what you're talking about. So I'm learning something about people. I don't know if we don't have the ability to listen when other people talk. I don't know if we don't have the ability to comprehend when other people talk, even if they are listening. But I'm finding through experience that two different people can tell somebody something, and then on the third time of telling them it, over a period of a couple of weeks, they finally understood what we were telling them. So, here's what the problem is, I believe. That when we're trying to make people understand things, we think they understand us because they speak English. We think they I learned that from the foreigners. The foreigners can act like they understand what you're saying, and they'll smile and they'll nod their heads and everything else. And I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying they don't understand what you're saying. You just thought they did. Well, it's the same with our people. Even if they speak English, even if we are speaking the same language as they are, they nod their heads, they smile or get angry, whichever, but they don't understand what you're saying. They're just ashamed to tell you that they don't understand what you're trying to tell them. So they act like they know it because, of course, our people are some of the biggest know-it-alls that you'll ever come across. They're so afraid of being called names by the Jews, and they're so afraid to be wrong. To be wrong, oh, it would be just devastate their ego. They're afraid to be taught. Because if they didn't understand what you were telling them and they had to admit they didn't understand, that would mean that they would have to, you know, acknowledge that you were going to teach them something. And many of them just aren't able to do that. And that's something that we should take an example of. I can't explain it to you. Some of these people, I can explain it to you, some of it, is that they just don't have the ability to listen. They're thinking about what they're going to say rather than listening to what you say. Other people don't comprehend what you're trying to tell them. perhaps the reason why they don't know with a statement like I just said, you are guilty of all the blood shed from Abel to Zacharias. Well, the possibility there is they don't know who Abel is. Oh, yes, they've heard of Cain and Abel, but it just didn't strike them. Oh, that Abel. And who is Zacharias? As a matter of fact, it does say Zechariah in one of the other. So it's the same person, Zacharias or Zechariah. So those could be some of the problems. There's no doubt about it. Those could be. I'm just learning that our people just really don't. This is why another testament right now, I'll just say this to you. The Bible or Yahweh repeats things over and over to us. Now, do you understand why he does that? And if you don't understand, maybe you will in time. I can't say. But obviously, we just don't get it all on the first round. And it takes persistence, and it takes time to read things over and understand. Yes, Cain killed Abel. How could some Jew Pharisee in the time of Yeshua be guilty of all the blood shed that Cain shed? Unless he was related to him. Unless he was of the seed line spoken about. Unless he was of this. Let me read this to you again when the dot is there. I just love reading this again because I'm going to just, you know, get it through your head sooner or later. So let's just read from here. Thus, the original declaration of St. Peter is, these living dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. When we speak of man, we are only speaking of the same people the founding fathers were speaking of. We're not speaking of the beast of the field. We are not speaking of 3/5 of a man. The Jews and all the others are sub-races. The only one who is truly man is Adam. Oh, yes, they're called Ish. They're called that. They're called this. They're called that. This is a fact. I don't care if you don't like it. You just have to get used to it. Just like you got used to all these Jew keywords, you're just going to have to get used to hearing the truth. I don't care whether you like hearing the truth or not. All I care is that you hear the truth and hopefully perceive it and understand it for what it really is. So, Peter and Jude graphically show they're speaking about none other than Jewry. They are speaking about not jewelry now. But who makes jewelry but Jewry? Okay, well, Indians make some jewelry. Okay, they are speaking about the same conditions Jude 9 shows. The angel is Michael and the brute beast is Halel, or the devil, who, according to the personal family record of Jewry's current god, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, was the serpent prince Nahar. Now, Nahar is a Hebrew word. The first record of the counterfeit race. See seed liners, one seed liners. Listen again. The first record of the counterfeit race. You know who the counterfeit race is. The ones who pretend they're the real Israelites. They're the counterfeit. We're the real thing. They are counterfeit. We're really men. They are counterfeit men. They're 3/5 of a man. Jews are not men. They're living dead things. The first record of that counterfeit race is in the third chapter of Genesis. The word serpent in that chapter is Nakash. I'm reading this again because I like I said, we got to just keep repeating this until you get it. In the original Hebraic, okay, there were three ways of composing the word nakash. There are three ways. The root is composed with three characters, the first of which is shaped similar to a round bottom W with a dot above the right hand arm. The second is similar to the pi ratio sign. The third is a very poor figure three. So Nakash is written with these certain shapes. I believe he said one was called the sin, and then the third one is called the shin. Okay, so the third is to a very poor figure three. Written thus, it means divine, learned by experience, observed diligently, use enchantment, and enchanter. When the word contains a dash or bar under the second and third characters, it means occult science, witchcraft, and black magic. So Nakash can mean occult science, witchcraft, and black magic. When a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race. Listen up, seedliners now, one seedliners. When the word contains a dash or bar under the second, when a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race fathered with a lowercase f, by the way, by the original material Satan. And the race is the racial body of Satan. Remember the Kehillah, that he goes on and describes the Kehillah, which is the racial body of Satan, in this very book. B.F. Jackson's The Mystery of the Serpent. This is a piece of gold that you should get yourself a copy of and read. Okay? This book also tells you what the serpents, when Yahweh told him to put the serpent on the top of the pole, told Moses to do that, it turned out to be a thermometer. It will tell you these things in here, okay? And so, those are the mini lessons of today. And now, I suppose, we should proceed to the animal farm. In the animal farm, we know that Satan's literal offspring, the Nakash with a dot, they are against the woman, the sheep. We are the sheep, as you know. That's why Yeshua will separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep will go on his right side, which is very significant. And the goats shall go on his left side, which is also very significant. The left side. What's left after right? Left. So in the animal farm, we have goats, hyenas, dogs, pigs, monkeys, and many of our females. I just saw an article which talked about 30,000 people marching against the Brexit, and I think it was 30,000 people, and many of them were our women. If you understand what I'm telling you, when you look at what's happening in Europe, you will find that many of our women have joined the goats, hyenas, dogs, pigs, and monkeys in the animal farm to go against the sheep. You see, many of our women who should be sheep and who are being taken advantage of are trying to sign not only their own death warrant, but all of our death warrants in the process, which proves again that Yahweh was correct and is correct and always will be correct. It's just very, very simple to see that he just knows what he's talking about. Why wouldn't he? So the goats have got the hyenas and dogs, pigs, monkeys, and many of our women to turn against us, to help kill us, to write us out of the picture in the animal farm. Now, the hyenas and the dogs and the monkeys are very active in killing and raping and stealing, just like their teachers, the goats. Yes, the animal farm is a nasty place. It's got all the attributes of hell within it. The hyenas, dogs, and monkeys are all over us right now, killing us on a daily basis, left and right, picking us off 4x4, 10x10 a day, whatever it might be, to reduce the race. Now, that reduction just helps the goats to do just a little bit of what the goats do. See, the goats, they are mostly abortion doctors, and they are the international bankers, the ones who like to fund both sides of the wars and then get us to kill each other off. See, they do the big damage. They kill us off by the millions. The hyenas, dogs, and monkeys only kill us off here and there, few at a time, 10 a day, 20 a day, every day. You see, the goats have turned all those against us. They've even turned our women against us. Now, women, don't start saying, I'm not against, I understand there's women out there that are still loyal to us. But instead of getting mad at me, go take a look at what's going on in Europe and take a look at what's going on in America and see what women are doing. Not only are they helping to write the white man out of the picture, but many of them hate the white men vehemently. They would like to kill them. They'd like to help the goats and the hyenas and the dogs and the pigs and the monkeys kill them. The pigs are the Shabbos Goy, and so are many of our women. And the pigs certainly get paid well by the goats to do their dirty deeds. The female goats teach many of our women in the animal farm how to go against us, how to vote against us, how to hate us. They write in their magazines and talk about how their husbands do all these womanly things, and the white man doesn't like to do that. He knows who he is. Many white men know who they are. Of course, that's getting more scarce now. Many of the sheep are losing their identity, not only as Israelites, but as men. In the same way, the sheep women who have turned against us have lost their identity not only as Israelites, but as women. They wish they were men. And if the goats should spark up a nice little demonstration, the hyenas, the dogs, the pigs, the monkeys, and many of our females will get right out there and help those goats to destroy our nations, to destroy our culture, to destroy decency. You see, they've got it so that many of our women would rather stand up for hyenas, dogs, pigs, monkeys, and goats. That they would rather give them favor over everything and turn against their own sheep men. And they're helping the goats to destroy. They're helping the goats by getting themselves into... The goats want to put them ahead of men because that's exactly what Yahweh doesn't want. And that also writes the white sheep out of the picture. And these women who hate us, they will do anything, these goats say. Because of this, the media, because of Talmud vision. What's funny about the whole thing is I'm watching the monkeys who get together with our women because the goats wanted them to do that. And what's happening is the monkeys are killing those women. I don't feel sorry for those women. I mean, in one way I do, but in another way I don't. Because it shows that that's Yahweh's judgment upon them. They're doomed. So they believe that the goats, they believe all these theories of the goats. They believe in the Communist Manifesto. They believe in feminism. And what happens is it just turns on them and they end up getting killed. These are the same women that go over to Africa to try to help the monkeys. And the monkeys kill them and rape them. Because there again, we go back to the biblical principle. Cast not your pearls before swine, lest they turn and trample and rend you. You see, if those women had understood the biblical principles, and if they had been known that they were Israelites instead of wannabe men, they wouldn't have gotten involved in those things in the first place. And if they were willing to be with their men and love their men of their own race, they wouldn't have been in those positions either. Because instead, they would have been loyal to their men. Rather than being loyal to goats, hyenas, dogs, pigs, and monkeys. How does this hit you? Does it make sense to you? You know, the goats like to smile a lot. And I've told you before, they have a saying, smile to win. Why? Because when you smile and people take a picture of you, people know that smiling is something that is a positive feeling. It means that you're happy. But that's not the purpose why the goats smile. The purpose is to make themselves presentable, to make themselves look like they're innocent goats. Now, the goats have the hyenas and the dogs and the pigs and the monkeys and many of our females do a lot of dirty work. Because they want to make sure that they're doomed to hell. Now, hyenas, dogs, and monkeys wouldn't be in the kingdom anyway, and the goats know that, any more than the goats would be in the kingdom. So goats, hyenas, dogs, and monkeys, they have nothing to really lose, in a sense. Except they're going to find out what the big heat. They're going to enjoy the big heat. But the pigs and many of our females, they weren't designed for the big heat. I don't know why. I can understand why the goats and the hyenas and the dogs and the monkeys live for today. I can understand that they know it doesn't matter how much crime they do, the result will be the same. Except in the case with the hyenas and dogs and monkeys, they were told if they blessed the sheep, then they would be blessed. But if they cursed the sheep, then they would be cursed. And no, I don't mean by blessed they'd become Israelites and have immortality. No. But at least they wouldn't be enjoying the fire. But I can't understand why the pigs and many of our women do not understand that there is going to be a payback. The pigs are living for today. Those women aren't thinking about tomorrow. The pigs are not thinking about tomorrow. So they go to the Bohemian Grove. Not the women, they're not allowed there, I don't believe. The pigs go there. And they do a ceremony to sear their consciences. You see? Maybe they drink lots of alcohol, like the Jew, what's his face, Churchill. He drank so much because he knew where he was going. He knew about his future. He knew that Jews were going to be holocausted when Yahweh comes back. So he drank himself into oblivion. The pigs allow themselves to be blackmailed. The pigs get themselves involved in things they shouldn't get themselves involved in. And the goats then have blackmail on the pigs. And because of the fear of being exposed, the pigs step in line. The dogs and the monkeys and the hyenas, they have no real understanding when it really comes down to it. They're so busy mixing with their cousins, just like the goats do, that they're insane. Most of the monkeys in America, not all of them, are half-breeds. So therefore, what happens with a half-breed is it becomes confused to whether which it is. Am I black? Am I white? And that can be very damaging to the brain. Because it causes some kind of a conflict within the mind. The goats know that. They live that conflict. If the goats, this B.F. Jackson book will tell you, The Mystery of the Serpent, it will tell you that if the Jews do not race mix, the race would stagger and die. If we were to take all the Jews right now and put them in Madagascar or put them up on the moon, they would just stagger and die because they have no lifeblood and no life force in their bone marrow, which means they have to race mix. I know you think that they are a pure people. They've got you hoodwinked, for use of a better term, but they've got you hoodwinked, that's a Freemasonic term, into believing that they're a pure people, when it couldn't be further from the truth. They have race mixed with all the races because they've lived in all the countries, and that's why they are internationalists. The goats are internationalists. The sheep are nationalists. The sheep like their own countries, like their own borders, like their own laws, like to compete with the other sheep countries. The goats know they want to destroy the sheep by race mixing, so they want no borders. They want the hyenas, the dogs, and the monkeys to come in. And of course, our women will be right there with their little signs, "Refugees welcome." But they're not refugees, and that's how stupid these women are, because they can't even recognize that. Do you understand what I'm telling you? So these women are so careless that not only are they so stupid that they're inviting their own death, but they've also put you onto the altar to be killed at the same time, because they are out of control, because they are not in the place Yahweh wanted them to be and told them and commanded them to be. Therefore, the goats, that's how they were able to accomplish this. You see, they started, I told you, with women voting. And they turned them against their husbands. They knew that there were more women. I'm repeating myself, but I just told you why I have to do this. They knew there were more women in our country than there were men. They knew if they could get women the right to vote, that they would be able to, they would now be out of the control of their husband. They would not be standing in line with their husband and saying, whatever he votes for, that's what I vote for. Now, I'm sure there were some good women that were like that, but they knew there were enough women that they could start getting people into offices around the country and be able to change the laws around the country and eventually be able to gain control of the currency, and so on and so on. Yes, it was done through our women, the same way as it was done in the garden through our first woman. The devil and his children are doing the same things today that they were doing in the beginning. If something works, why stop doing it? And so the pigs go along with all of this stuff. And the pigs and our women, many of our women, sheep, they don't know that they're going to be the first ones slaughtered. They think that they're doing something that's noble. And that's why it says there is a way that seems right to a man, but this way leads to death. the dirty dogs and the dirty hyenas, goats, and monkeys. It makes no difference to them. They've joined up with Halel, the father of them. You see, even if Dr. Wesley Swift is right, and he could be, that these monkeys fell down with Lucifer when he fought against Michael the Archangel, and that they came from the dog star. Sirius. The dog star. You notice that in the Weimar Republic, they brought the monkeys into the Weimar Republic to destroy it, right? And you notice one of the first things that happened to the young country of America were the Jews with their slave ships brought the monkeys to America. You do notice that, don't you? You do realize that even Farrakhan knows it was the Jews that brought the monkeys to America? This is how the animal farm works. I heard Jan Lamprecht talking about how the first things the goats go after when they hit a country is the farms and the farmers. And he thought it was because they were the conservative pack or because they were of the army. Now, he may be right about that, but I'm going to tell you the real reason they go after the farm. I told you already that Yahweh wanted us to have the farm because it was a protection for us. What it was independence. The Jews hate independence. The goats hate independence. The goats hate nationalism. The goats hate nations because nations are independent of one another. You understand? So the goats wrote the Declaration of Interdependence. Hello? The goats want to have no borders. The goats want you to have no farm where you can grow your own good food, like organic food. See, the word organic never existed. It just was all good food. It was all organic. It was all healthy for you, for the most part. Unless you had some kind of disease on or something from time to time, but it's nothing like it is when you're dependent on a supermarket. Are these things starting to connect to you? Are you starting to see what I'm telling you? Are you, you know, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. However, when you're busy with all the things that you could be busy with in this world, maybe you just haven't had time to think about these things. Of course, the Jews. What happened in Waco? Those people were independent. They didn't need a federal government. They didn't need a state government. They were totally independent. Now, you can say they were a cult. You can say whatever you wish, but that's what the Jewish media told you. You don't really know that they were a cult, and you don't really, you can't really believe any of that crap anyway that they've told you, because they went in there and they killed the children to save the children. And supposedly, it's just been found out that Hillary is the one that pushed the button, so to speak. What that was a sacrifice, because I got very upset when I saw Bill Clinton get up. I have some Waco videos. And at the end of the video, he gets up and he talks about how to this day, when the Jewish ghettos were firebombed or whatever like that. See, this was a revenge, because not only is Bill a Jew, he's a Rockefeller bastard child, but Hillary grew up in the home speaking Yiddish with her grandmother. So what it was, Waco was a revenge. And it was done on a specific date for a specific reason, as a revenge, because the Jews never forget. Remember, I know now that Anonymous are Jews, because they say they never forgive and they never forget. That teaches me who they are. Now, that may not be the original Anonymous, but you see, just in the same way as you could have Ku Klux Klan, real Ku Klux Klan, and then you could just buy some sheets and put them over Negroes, which they've been caught doing those things. Anybody could be the Ku Klux Klan. Just as anybody could be Anonymous. But when I heard them finally come out with the saying, "We never forgive and we never forget," there's a key. It teaches me something. It tells me something. It tells me something maybe they didn't intend telling me. What did it tell you? So, according to Revelation 12:15, you know, it's funny, when I was back in somewhat darkness, and I believed that Jews were God's chosen people, and that Israel was Israel and all that stuff, till Yahweh plucked me out of it by his sheer mercies, by his wonderful mercies. I could never thank him enough for that. However, I used to think that was true. And it made me have many questions. And it made the Bible have many conflicts. It's only since I found out who the true Israel is that now the Bible virtually has no conflicts. It's amazing how everything cleared up. I had thought that Yahweh created America, I didn't know his name at the time, to protect Israel. Well, he really did. See, I was right all along, but I just was wrong on who Israel was. Yes, this is the meeting place for the tribes in the end times. We could not fit back into the old Israel, the old Palestine or whatever. And he never said we would go back there. So I was right, but I was still wrong because I thought they were Israel. They are a counterfeit race, just as Freemasonry is a counterfeit church. Yes, it is a religion. I have people come out and tell me it's not a religion. And when I did teachings on that, I did a 6-part series, and I read right out of their own books, them saying over and over that it is a religion. And of course, why would you go to the temple and all that kind of stuff if you weren't in a religion? They are seeking the light. And the worshipful master is the priest. It's just a perversion of the true Christianity, not Judeo-Christianity. Judeo-Christianity is a perversion of the real Christianity. It's hard for people to understand. And with our race, it's hard for them to admit that they've been wrong all along. I'd rather be wrong than be in the lake of fire. Oh, it would be much easier to be wrong and to admit I was wrong, like I have. I was wrong. Big deal. Get over it. Is it the end of the world? But if you don't admit you're wrong and you stay in that thing and you say, well, I can't admit I was wrong all this time, what will they think of me? What will who think of you? Because when you find out what's right, you're going to lose many of those people. Who cares what they think of you? Let, like Yeshua said, let the dead bury the dead. Don't worry about them at this point. You can pray for them. You can try to reach them. First, you got to get yourself out of the false, demonic version of Christianity. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it is. Get yourself out of it. Don't be worried about what Aunt June or Sister this, Brother that, or Uncle Sam, or whoever it might be. You know who Uncle Sam is? Uncle Samael. That's who Uncle Sam is. See his big hook nose? Uncle Samael wants you to go to war and wants you to be taxed. Uncle Samael. Hmm? Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. Be more concerned that you get yourself out of something that was a lie from the beginning. Judeo-Christianity is the Jewish version of Christianity. It's what allows this counterfeit race to pretend that they are us, to pretend that they are the authentic, to pretend they are men. They're not men. They're living dead things. They're zombies. Their purpose is to destroy you and corrupt you utterly. This is what has happened. They've corrupted the hyenas. They've corrupted the dogs. They've corrupted the pigs. They've corrupted the monkeys. And many of our sheep women who are helping them. Who are they? The goats. The Jews. The counterfeit race. The Nakash. The Shin. Remember, they're in the... Let me tell you something about the synagogue. They don't have any worship services in the synagogue. They talk about business, and they talk about things that have nothing to do with religion. You've got the wrong idea. When they stand up and do the shin, that means they're showing their colors to one another and showing that they are with the devil, their literal father. And so Spock, you see, Gene Roddenberry, who wrote those things, is a Freemason. I told you that Freemasonry is controlled by the Jews from top to bottom. It is a counterfeit church in the same way as Judeo-Christianity is. The Jewish version of Christianity. It's just a different denomination. Freemasonry is a different denomination. But they're both part of this Jewish scheme. So Gene Roddenberry had Spock teaching you how to give the sign of brotherhood. Now remember, you got to think about who is Spock in Star Trek. Who is he? Well, he's a Jew that plays him. That's first thing. But number two, Spock is a hybrid. He's a God-man like Freemasonry. He's a mix between a white woman or the daughters of Adam. And the dad is a pointy-eared, hook-nosed Romulan or whatever he is. So Spock, what they were trying to teach you there was race mixing will actually make you higher than the race you're in currently. He was a hybrid, remember? But what's the one key thing I just thought of even right now? He didn't go by his feelings. He only went by logic. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Listen to this. He didn't go, even though he was contradictive because he would play music because he was confused to who he was. He was not supposed to have feelings for Captain Kirk, yet sometimes he did. Because his so-called human side would get the better of him from time to time. Because he was confused to who he really was, like I told you. But for the most part, he was cold-blooded and only went by logic. These living dead things, these living dead things. Spock is a living dead thing. It's all there in front of your face. Captain Kirk, Kirk meaning Circe or church. This new church, I had told you there was an episode where they went and they saw this god and they told him, we've outgrown you. We don't need you anymore. Man has outgrown the need for a god, he told him. And we can see the multiculturalism of Star Trek right on the ship itself. Oh, they were, as a team together, they were stronger than they would have been with just one race on that ship. See, because this team of all different races beat all the other people because they were just of one race in those other ships for the most part, you see? Unless it was something like they were going to have a, a meeting of the Federation. Am I making sense to you? Are you understanding what television is doing to your mind? What it's teaching you subliminally? The first interracial kiss was done on that show between Captain Church and Uhura. Do you see what they were trying to do then? You see, it's more clear. What they want us to do as white people, white men, they want us to trade women with the black men. Now, if you've got any brains, let's use our logic right now. They don't even want their own women. Why would you want their own? their women. Everybody, including angels, wants your women, white man, sheep. Nobody wants black women, not even the blacks. Why would you want to trade our gorgeous women for gorillas? You wouldn't. The blacks know it's a good trade for them. The goats thought it up. But they showed you a glimpse of it in Star Trek. A glimpse of your future. Your future being a multicultural society that the Jews thought up for you. And a society where technology would be chieftain. And there would be a federation of planets. And the Klingons, who were the enemy of the Federation, were those that wanted to cling on to the old ways. They didn't want to live in a multicultural society. They didn't want to trade their beautiful women for, even though the Klingons weren't beautiful, they didn't want to change. See, they made them ugly because that's the way they look at us. If we love our country, if we love our women, if we love our culture and our ways and our God, that makes us ugly to them. So the Klingons did not want to move forward with the devil and his goats. The hyenas, dogs, pigs, monkeys, and many of our women will do anything the goats and their father tells them to do. If you are trying to hang on to your country and your culture, you're a Klingon and you are an enemy to the Jewish Federation. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, be careful in the animal farm. Be careful. Don't turn your back on the goats. Don't turn your back on the hyenas, dogs, pigs, monkeys, or many of our sheep women. But above all things, study to show thyself approved.